I want you to turn, we're going to start in the book of Isaiah, and we are going to start in chapter 41, verse 10. Let me know when you're there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk to you today about the hand of God. Amen. And I want to encourage you today. Hallelujah. And from these verses we see, and we hear it all the time, fear not, for the Lord God is with you. Fear not. How can we fear when the Lord, we know the Lord God is with us? Amen?
Amen.
Do you have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God living in the inside of you, how many know that the Lord God will never leave you, never forsake you? So no need to fear. Amen. Amen. And those who need to fear the Lord are the ones that are doing things on their own. Amen. And so if you're on your own and you're not leaning on God or you're not seeking God, there's a good reason for you to fear. Because the Lord goes like this. He doesn't leave your presence. Amen. But he just goes like this. He's waiting on you. Amen. It's like Revelations. I'm not going to go there, but Revelation 3:20. He stands knocking at your door. Amen. And that word is really for believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. He's knocking at your door. Are you going to let him in? Mm-hmm. And God is always speaking, church. God is always speaking. He's always trying to get our attention. Are we listening? Are we allowing him to come in? Mm-hmm. Remember, life is full of surprises. There, you know, the enemy's out there, right? He's going around. He's got traps for you. He's got snares. They're everywhere. Amen. And thank God for the hand of God that surely protects us all the time. And I'm going to show you through scripture how the hand of God has been with people throughout the Old Testament. Amen. And even through the new, because we are in the new covenant and God is with us. Yes. So we should not fear. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. So God is, you have to know that God is with you. So this is a great reason. When you know that God is with you, you don't need to fear, because you know that in his promises, he says, "I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you." And like the verse says, "I'm going to uphold you with my right hand of his righteousness." Not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. So the right hand signifies strength. It signifies skill. So the Lord will use all his strength and skill to uphold us, to uphold his children. Amen. And that is a promise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Another thing from scripture, you know, as I study, you know, scripture tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yes, he is.
And that is often associated with power, authority, and honor. So in essence, the hand of God is often associated also with God's power, guidance,
Amen.
Favor, intervention for the lives and in the lives of believers,
Amen.
For his people, for his children.
Yes.
So the title of my message today is "The Hand of God." The hand of God is upon me. That's the title. You got to know that, you know, you should repeat that to yourselves right now. The hand of God is upon me.
Amen.
Because it is, church. The hand of God, this is what it symbolizes. It symbolizes power. It symbolizes authority. It symbolizes guidance. It symbolizes protection. It symbolizes favor, and it symbolizes blessing. Amen?
Amen.
So today I want to encourage you, because all these things are yours, because you are a child of God. All these things are in God's hand, and He, with His grace and His favor, He gifted you all these things because you are His child, because you said yes to His Son Jesus. So that you have to know and recognize that the hand of God, it is upon you today. He will never leave you stranded.
Yes.
He will never forsake you. God is there. He's always talking. He's always doing. Amen. And He's always working behind the scenes. You may not feel Him. You may not see Him. Amen. You may not be able to touch Him tangibly sometimes. Amen. But you got to know that, you know, our faith is not based on our five senses. Mm-hmm. Our faith is based on the finished work of the cross in Christ Jesus. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. So in I wanna begin to go through scripture, and there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the hand of God. So I just wanna touch on a few, and I wanna introduce now Psalm 89:13. Let's turn there. The book of Psalm 89:13. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says here, you have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Amen. So it's saying your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand is exalted. So the psalmist is saying here that the right hand is always described here as ultimate power. As in those who are right-handed. If you're right-handed, you have more power in your right hand than in your left hand, because you are right-handed. Amen. So there's strength, there's skill in your right hand. Hallelujah. So he's saying here, and you know, God's right hand, it is powerful. Amen. It is strong. It is skillful. Amen. And it's the hand of God is over you, protecting you. He is strong. He is mighty. His shadow is upon you. Amen. Because the hand of God also speaks about guidance and protection. Psalm 139:10. Let's turn there. Amen. God is all powerful, all knowing. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
139:10, this is what it says. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Amen. So,
amen.
Again, guiding, protecting. Even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. That's a promise from God, church.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
There's no place in this universe, in this world, where God doesn't lead and guide those who seek Him. Again,
yes.
I want to remind, there's always a condition. You know, we are called the children of God. And you're a child of God. You should have a relationship with God the Father. Amen. There's got to be communication. There's got to be relationship. Amen. There's got to be communion. Again, God is knocking on our door. He wants you to let Him in so He can commune with you, so He can guide you, so He can protect you, so he can speak to you, so He can give you solutions. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's there. He's always there for those who seek Him. The word says, seek Him, me, and you will find me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So His protection is always there for us. Always. God is always there. It doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in, God is always there. The Lord's presence and his power penetrate and can penetrate through any prison or problem. Amen. You got to know that, that God is there. He's powerful. He's got authority. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, and he can break anything. Amen.
Yeah. Everything. Break.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a deliverer. He's a protector.
Amen.
He's healer. He's the source. He's our provider.
Yes.
Amen. But he's constantly guiding us. And here, what King David is saying here, David was saying that there's no place he could go where all of God's power and ability would not be available to him. Amen. You can't outrun God. Wherever you go, God's power is right there with you. God's ability is right there with you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can call a friend and they may not be able to be there for you in a grave, maybe situation, but God will always be there for you. That's why we need to call upon him in a situation, not call upon man. And when I say man, I mean friends or co-workers or family members. I'm talking about men and women. No. The first thing we should be doing is running to God, because he is our guide. He is our protector. Hallelujah. He's a problem solver. Did you know that he's a problem solver? That if you ask, he will respond.
Yes.
And the thing is that the more, we've been saying this over and over, but the more you commune with God the Father, the more you begin to recognize his voice. And can I share with you, his voice is like your voice. And if the Lord says, I believe it's in John 14:27. I'm going to turn there, because this is key to our walk with Christ. No, it's not 14:27. Okay, but anyway, the word of God says, my sheep hear my voice.
Amen. That's right.
My sheep hear my voice. Mm-hmm. Are we not called the sheep of his pasture?
Yes.
Is God not our good shepherd? If God is our good shepherd, amen, and we are his sheep, we hear God.
That's right.
You can't tell me you don't hear from God. Because God is always speaking.
That's right.
When was the last time you picked up the Bible? Mm-hmm. Last Sunday?
Yeah.
When was the last time you spoke to God?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is always speaking. Thank you, Vinit. Was that Vinit? Lisette.
Yes, me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
That's right.
We hear his voice because we follow him. Because the more you're in tune with God, the more you're going to recognize his voice. And his voice is not this thunderous, manly voice. No, you know how you're going to recognize his voice? It's going to sound like your voice. You know that in the beginning when I met the Lord and I would talk to him and he would talk to me, you know, a lot of times when he really wanted me to obey, He would speak the way I used to speak to my children when they were small. Like right now, not later, like right now. Like my voice would be higher and the tone would be higher. And the Lord, he made me chuckle because one day he says, pick up the phone right now. And I was like, I chuckled, but I knew I better pick up the phone and I better do what the Lord is asking me to do. And that was the time when he asked me to call my previous pastor and to let him know that I was leaving the church. And I was procrastinating, you know, of course. But anyway, but, I, you know, I heard that it reminded me of me when the way I used to speak to my kids. When I wanted something done, I would raise my voice and I would say right now. Until this day, my nieces still make fun of me because that's one of the things they remember. Right now, when I wanted them to do something, a shush or pick up the toys, I said right now. And amen. I would be very bold, you know.
So, well, I said so.
Exactly. So when the Lord wants to get something across to me, let me tell you, his voice starts with a very still small voice, but it gets louder and louder and louder until I say, okay, God, you got me, you know. But anyway, that was an aside one. Amen. But all this to say that we have to remain in tune with God because he is our protection. Man can't protect you, but God can.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. So it, David was saying, it doesn't matter where I go, you're always there. God is always with me. And God is saying the same thing to us today. Doesn't matter where you run to. Even if you're running from me, I'm always right there. Yeah. You know?
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, we spoke about, and we're going to touch on these a little bit more in a few minutes. But, you know, we're speaking about God's hand is power, it's authority, it's guidance, it's protection, amen. And I also said it's favor and blessing, amen.
Yes,
and
amen.
I can come up with just two people in the Old Testament that came to mind, and that's Ezra in 7:28. And that is, I always get, I think that is before the Psalms, Ezra, because it's a small book. 7:28, I believe. Oh, let's start in 27. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. So this is Ezra speaking. And, you know, from scripture, we know that Ezra was a scribe and he was one that studied the word. He practiced the word, and God called him to go to Jerusalem and teach my people the word of God. Teach my people my word. And in this instance, and if we go just a few verses before to Ezra 7:6, it says here, this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. So the favor of God was upon Ezra, and he wanted to go to Israel and teach the people the word. And the king granted him his request. And he even remembered that during that time, Nehemiah, you know, there was the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. You know, the temple walls were also had been destroyed, remember? And
yeah.
and with Nehemiah, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but anyway, you know, the favor of God was on Nehemiah because all those supplies were just given to Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But Ezra was a scribe, and he was loved by God. Amen. And the hand of the Lord, like we just read, was upon Ezra. And because he knew that the hand of the Lord was upon him, he was encouraged. Amen. How many of us need encouragement today? I'm here to tell you that the hand of the Lord, and I'm going to lift up my hand because we all need encouragement. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And God favors you. And God is blessing you. Amen.
Amen.
So you got to know that you know that the God is with you. God is with you. He loves you. He favors you. He's telling you right now, he's well pleased with you.
That's right.
That's something that I couldn't believe for for years. How can he be pleased with me when I've done this and this and that and I'm learning? No, the love of God. God is love. The love of God covers a multitude of sin, and his grace is sufficient for us. So God loves you so much that he only sees you as he sees his son. He sees the spirit of God, the spirit of his son Jesus in you, because you are a spirit being now. Amen. So he doesn't see your flaws. He sees you perfect, just like he sees his son Jesus. And you have to believe that. You have to like grab hold of that, because the moment you grab hold that God is with you, that he's never left you, that God is protecting you, that his power and authority is with you. Amen. You gotta know that God favors you. He's gonna shine his face upon you. He's gonna favor you. He's gonna turn to you, give you peace, grant you the joy that you so desire. Amen. And give you the courage to continue on. Amen. Look at the story of Joseph in Genesis 50:20, and we all know the story of Joseph, right?
Yes.
I hope that everybody knows the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. Amen. When the brother sold him as a slave to the Egyptians. Amen. But Genesis 50:20, which is one of my life verses. This verse has, I tell you, I confess this verse all the time. Amen. Because it is my life verse. It's got me through so many things. In Genesis 50:20, it says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Amen.
Amen.
So what the enemy meant for evil by the Joseph's brother throwing him in the pit, amen, and selling him as a slave to the Egyptians, even in Egypt, even when he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife, who accused him of sexual assault, he was thrown into jail unjustly. Still, the favor of God was upon Joseph.
Yes.
Amen.
And the skill of God and the hand of God was upon Joseph, and he gifted him with interpretation of dreams, and even inside the jail he interpreted, hallelujah, two of the men that were in jail, hallelujah, and then he told them, "Remember me when you get released. Remember me." Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And when Potiphar's had a dream, and one of the guys had already been released from jail, he remembered, "Oh, Daniel, he interpreted my dream." So he told Potiphar, "I have a man. He's in the jail right now, but he can interpret the dream that you had." And because of that interpretation, and because Potiphar believed in Joseph, amen, because it was granted to him, the favor of God was upon Joseph. Hallelujah. And he was able to save a nation that was going to be in lack 7 years later. Amen. He was able to provide all the food that he strategically, hallelujah, God gave him a strategy. God gave him a plan for him to store a bunch of wheat in from the fields for so much years, so when the famine came at an appointed time, because that's what he revealed in the dream, they would have an abundance and enough food for the family. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the favor of God was upon Joseph. Amen? Right. Think about a time when the favor of God was upon you. Amen? I can think of numerous times when God has opened the doors. For me, the favor, hallelujah, depositing his wisdom, amen, his understanding, his revelation, favor at work, amen, favor with family, amen. You understand what I'm saying? Favor, protection. It's like the word, you know, the word says guard your heart. Sometimes we gotta guard our hearts. The Lord tells us, guard your heart. He warns us, you need to guard your heart. Because not everybody is for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes even at work, you have enemies. Amen. They want to take your position at work. So the Lord Amen. Tells us in his word, guard your heart. Just when he went to pray at Gethsemane, remember, on the night which he was betrayed by Judah. Amen. He went to pray and he told the disciples, stay here, remain and pray, lest you be tempted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. We're tempted. Amen. Amen. The enemy is always tempting us. God doesn't tempt us, but the enemy does. Our minds, our eyes, our ears. Amen. We're tempted right. by things yeah. of the world.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So God is always talking to us. Why? Because he loves us. Because in our talks, he's literally protecting you. He's guiding you. This is what you should be doing, you know? You know, I'm knocking at your door. Open it so I can sit with you and dine with you and talk to you. You want an answer for your problem? Come, invite me in. You see, God will not force himself upon you. You know, a lot of people speak about, you know, the sovereignty of God. Let me tell you, yes, God is sovereign, but he's not in control of everything because he will not force himself upon you. He's giving you free will to do
yes.
what you Amen. Need to do. So yes. a lot of times people take that word sovereign, you know, God is sovereign. Well, you know, easy up on that because you really got to look into the definition.
Amen.
He may be control of some things, but let me tell you, he's giving you free will.
Right.
You are the one that control you. You control yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If God is knocking at the door, that means that he's expecting you for you to open it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't open it, he's not going to force you to open it.
Absolutely not.
God calls people to accept his son Jesus. But he's not going to force you to accept him.
Right.
Free will.
God is the creator of the world. And there's people that still think he's not a creator. Science, you know. Science made the monkey. Science did this. Science did that. Hello.
Evolution.
He's not going to force himself to believe him. I mean, you know, just look at creation. There is a God.
Yes, that's
there
it.
Is. God.
Yeah, science can't do this, okay? There is a real God. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Creation Amen. Speaks for itself.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen?
You.
So, you know, so this is, you know, this is the hand of, we're talking about the hand of God. Amen?
Yes.
And, my goodness, there's so much to say, really. God is good. God knows what we need when we need it. And God is here to encourage all of us because we all need encouragement. And for one, the hand of God empowers you to do what you've been called to do. Empowers you with purpose. That's what the hand of God does. That's why the hand of God, there's power and there's authority because it empowers you to do what you've been the task or the assignment that you've been given to do. Amen. Let's turn to, and I'm not going to remain there so long, but in 1 Kings 18:46, talking about Elijah here, 1 Kings, let me find it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, right? Hallelujah. You know, here, you know, this is the time where, you know, there was a drought and it hadn't rained for years. And you know, remember the idol of the statue of Baal? You know how people were worshiping Baal? There were prophets worshiping Baal. You remember Ahab? Remember Jezebel? So in this verse, is saying that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is a time where Elijah was praying for rain to come down. Amen. And the other prophets had prayed for rain and nothing. There was no drips came, nothing. It was dry. But when God called upon the name of the Lord and he called upon God, You know, his little servant kept going back to the clouds and looking at up at the sky. Is there a cloud? Is there a cloud? And he always came back. No, no, no. And one time he said, I see something. And he said, great. Okay. Now we got to run because it's going to rain and it's going to pour. So we got to get out of here. Amen. And what this is saying that Elisha, at the same time, Ahab was speaking to Elijah during that time too, but Ahab left because he found out that it was going to rain. But the word of God says that Elijah ran ahead of Ahab. Amen. The power of the Lord just came upon Elijah, and he took his cloak and his belt, and he ran ahead all the way to Jezreel, where God had told him to go. And in there, God's hand provided, you know, we can see in this story that God supernaturally provided strength for Elijah so he can fulfill his purpose. Amen. So, and he did, we know from the story that he did fulfill his purpose, that, and even when Jezebel found out that, really Elijah had killed the other prophets, it was really God, you know, did away with the other prophets, because, you know, they were worshiping, an idol, worshiping a God that was not real, you know, Baal, you know, so, it's, you know, you got to read the story if you don't know it. Amen. But anyway, but Jezebel got was so angry that he says, I'm going after Elijah. I'm going to kill him. And then for some reason, he began to fear. Fear began to be on him. And as he ran to a cave, God supernaturally fed him in that cave and spoke to him and empowered him to say, hey, let's go. You got a job to do. Amen. But anyway, it's the same thing with us. Amen. The hand of God is upon us. And sometimes sometimes fear can come upon us. Amen. And God is there to remind you, no, 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 no. You know, you got this because I'm with you. Yes. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got this. Amen. As long as you are available for me, I will be your supernatural ability. It is my supernatural power and my supernatural strength that accomplishes what it is that I want to do in you and through you. And it's going to affect others. Amen. Because how many of you know God, whatever God does, he always does it for others. When we give, amen, we always have others in mind. Amen. When God gave his only son, he had us in mind. It was about others. It wasn't about himself. Amen. When we do something for God, it's about Jesus. It's about him. Amen. So God's hand is upon you. I want to tell you, God's hand is upon you, and he's going to equip you for the task at hand beyond your natural ability. Amen. So we as children, as his saints, amen, as his sheep, we need to trust in God's empowerment. Amen. Don't we have the Holy Spirit?
Yes, we do.
Don't we have power and authority? It's already given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. When you accepted the Lord, guess what? You were filled with power. You got the Holy Spirit. Amen. And really, doesn't get better than that. To have our own Jesus abiding in us, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. You know, your mind, you know, it's hard to understand that the Lord God himself is living in the inside of you. So we need to trust God, amen, because his hand empowers you to do whatever God called you to do. Amen. The hand of God also guides you, amen. Let's turn to Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. Exodus 13, 21 and 22 says, and the Lord went before them, talking about the Israelites, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. We know from the story, you know, how God delivered the Israelites. But remember, when they were in the wilderness, boy, they were very rebellious. Amen. They were angry at God. They were angry at Moses. And yet he still provided, amen, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire to guide them. So the hand of God guided them. There was a manifestation of God's presence within the wilderness where they were at. Yet, when you think about it and you think about the Israelite being so disobedient to God and beginning to worship other things, amen, and even making a statue of gold to worship, you know, you think about that and it's like the Israelites acted like God never guided them, like the hand of God was never upon them. They just totally dismissed the guidance and the protection that the Lord had given them. God delivered them, amen, and they chose to forget. And literally, they had, when we read the scriptures, they had a visible manifestation. They could see the manifestation of God's presence. They can see how God fed them. They can see the hand of God was on Moses. They can see. Yep. Yet their hearts became hardened. Mm-hmm. And that's why it literally had no impact on them. But the hand, it doesn't take away that the hand of God was guiding them in the day and in the night. Hallelujah. And sometimes we some of us, amen, I'm not talking about our church, amen. Sometimes some of us, amen, we want God to manifest himself visibly before us. So like this, we wouldn't doubt. Remember doubting Thomas? Well, unless I see the imprint on his hand of the nails, I ain't going to believe.
That's right.
Amen. And that's how some of us are sometimes. Well, you know, unless I see myself healed, I'm not going to believe that healing is for me today. No, it doesn't work that way. God already provided that for you. Just like he provided the Spirit of God is within you. He provided everything. He provided every spiritual blessing. God already did everything he had to do. Amen. You just have to know that you know that it's yours and grab hold of it and walk in your healing. Amen. But this is what this is saying, that people want to see the manifestation when the word clearly says you got to walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
You got to walk by faith. Our walk is by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're not walking by faith, you may not see it. Amen. That's what we need. We need believers, you know, faith walking believers to pray over. Sometimes we need to pray over some people because they're not there yet.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But because they're willing, and this is a message for another day, but because they're willing, God, if you will, I want to be made whole. I want to be healed if your will. Well, God is always willing. Amen. And God, you know, it is his work at the cross. God healed people. God healed the leper. Amen. And then they were saved. You know what I'm saying?
His work.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It is the hand of God. It is the favor of God, the protection of God, the guidance of God, the power, the authority of God upon people. But this was not the case with the Israelites. They had the powerful manifestation. They saw it. And they had it with them. Amen. And they still sinned. They still disobey. Faith is stronger than sight. And those who don't realize that, they are defaulting to their five senses. Like I said, it's not about your senses. It's not about your five senses. You gotta, this walk is by faith. Our senses are always at war. Our flesh is always at war with our spirit. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
can fool yourself.
Exactly. Amen. Hallelujah. But know that the hand of God continually is guiding you. Continually.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Look at Amen. Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 37. Let's go to verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37, 23, 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Are we delighting in the Lord? Though he may stumble, talking about men and women, right? Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, even though you're stumbling, and, you know, a lot of times we can get up from our bed, so we can get out of the car, and we may stumble, and some of us fall. This scripture is saying that you will not fall. Because his hand is upon you. Amen. So the Lord himself, hallelujah, that the Lord would delight himself in our way is amazing. Amen. He delights in his children. It doesn't matter if we're living how holy we are living. Doesn't matter. You are his child. God is going to protect you. Amen. And this is what this verse is saying. Doesn't matter if you fall, if you go astray, if you make a wrong decision, God is still going to be there for you. That's what this word is saying. Amen. And it's not because you're a good person, you're so wonderful, but because we have a wonderful Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, he's our Savior. Good people stumble and fall just like the wicked. But God is on our side and upholds us with his hand.
Yes, he is.
Amen. The Lord have mercy on those who don't have the hand of God to soften the fall that they may have. Amen. Amen. So when we're faced with uncertainty, we need to seek God's direction. We got to trust him, and we got to trust that his hand is continually guiding us into the right path. Amen. Remember, we just read the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. In other words, he makes every crooked road straight. Amen. He gives you the pathway. He tells you where to go. He guides you. It's just like the Psalm in 119, 105, where it says, the word of God is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. God is always guiding us, Amen. Church. Amen. And God is also protecting us. Look at David and Goliath. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel quickly. Verse 17:37 in 1 Samuel. Are you learning something today? I hope you're getting something out of this. Amen. First Samuel 17:37, it says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. What he's saying, that the hand of God is with you. The Lord is protecting you. So here David acknowledged that God's hand delivered him in the past and would again protect him in the present. Amen? Because he was coming against Goliath.
Amen.
A giant. Amen? And in our natural lives, we can't see that this big giant and this little boy coming against Goliath. How is he going to beat him? That's impossible. Well, scripture clearly tells us that nothing is impossible for God for those who believe.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what, you know, David was telling Saul. He said, you know, if God deliver me, amen, from the lion, from the bear, he's going to do it again. Because I trust God. This is what David was saying. Telling Saul, I trust God. And Saul, remember, Saul wanted David to wear his own armor for protection. Says, I can't wear this. You know, God is with me. What are you doing? You know? So there was no tangible proof that David could beat Goliath, because in the natural, how can he? But I'm here to tell you that all of David's reasoning was based on faith. Amen? Was based on faith. And Saul was not exactly in faith at that time. It's impossible that this quickened Saul's memory of times when he had operated in faith. You know, there was a point in time where Saul was operating in faith. But then, you know, he fell out of the hand of God, kind of, because he began to disobey God, and he began to seek psychics and fortune tellers for a word, for direction. Amen. And God really got angry. That's why he took his throne away. Amen. And gave it to King David. And Saul got very jealous of David. We know the story. But it is by faith that David went against Goliath. Amen. Hallelujah. It is by faith that we walk this walk, church. It's by faith. Amen. So God's hand shields you from harm in moments of danger or spiritual warfare. Amen. You got to see that. So we are, as his saints, as his children, we need to rest in his protective covering. Just like Psalm 91. We're not going to go there, so long Psalm, but everybody knows Psalm 91. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the hand of God. And that's what it's saying. That's the hand is our protection. And the other one is the hand of God brings favor. Amen. Again, and I touched upon this before, Nehemiah 2:8. Amen. Let's turn there, because I did mention him before. Nehemiah. Remember the walls of Jerusalem were torn. Amen. And he wanted to rebuild the walls. Nehemiah, let's see, getting there. Nehemiah 2:8, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So you see, Nehemiah knew that the hand of God, the favor of God, was resting upon him. And when they requested supplies to build, it was given to them. Amen. The gracious hand of God was upon Nehemiah. The king granted every request that he made, just like he granted Ezra's request. God's favor opened the door that no man can shut. Yes. And I'm telling you right now, the favor of God will open the door. The hand of God will open a door for you that no man can shut. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this is when we are connected, when we remain connected to the vine, because we are the branches. We got to remain connected to our vine, to God. Don't disconnect yourself from God, from the word. Hallelujah. And Nehemiah was, you know, he had a heart. He had a heart to help. He just wanted to rebuild, amen, the temple walls. And God honor his heart, amen. Honor what, that he would place God first in his life. He honored him and he favored him, Amen. And Nehemiah was one that walked in humbleness. Amen. So another application for the favor of God. Hey, we got to walk in humility and obedience. And you got to know that the favor of God positions you for divine opportunities, amen? And this is one of the things we pray for when we come together, amen? During prayer, we pray for God's divine opportunities, divine relationships, divine connections, divine intervention, amen? That's what we pray for, because when we come together, we pray for the land, for the future sanctuary, the temple of God that we're going to build there. Don't think that God is not working behind the scenes. God is surely working behind the scenes, because he is preparing his people for what's to come. Amen?
Amen.
And even if it takes 20 years, which I doubt that it will, amen, but I'm just saying that it doesn't matter, because God holds time in his hands, but he is preparing. Yes. Amen. He's planning. Amen. God is a planner. For I know the plans that I have for you. God is a planner, says the Lord.
Amen.
For I know the plans. God is a planner. And he put this plan into motion. And we purchase a piece of land. Don't think that nothing will ever come out of it, because God is working and we are working. We're praying for our land. We're praying for the community. We're praying for the people, amen, in this community. We're praying for the nation, amen. We come together in prayer, amen, and God knows that.
Yes.
Amen. And that's why God says, I am well pleased with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because his hand is upon us. His hand is upon his church. His hand is upon his people. Isaiah 49, my last scripture for today. Isaiah 49, 16. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your word is rich, Lord. Your word is rich.
Yes.
Isaiah 49:16. This is what it says. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Amen. Another scripture, I believe another translation says, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. Amen. And what this signifies is that God is intimately involved in your life, watching over you, and knows every single detail about you. He's watching over us. He's watching over our church. He's very much involved in every little thing that concerns you. He's involved in the very least of things that concerns us as a church. God is involved. Amen. And when this is almost like a foreshadow when it says that God had inscribed the palms of his hands. Well, you got to look at the cross. He inscribed those nails. The nails are an inscription, an engravement. Amen. It's a reminder for us that God paid the price. God, the Lord Jesus paid the price for us. And this is why today we are fully protected. Amen. We have been empowered. We have the authority. Amen. We have guidance. We have protection. We have favor from God. Amen. Because his hand is over us. Amen. Because we accepted his son Jesus and we said yes to him. So what are the takeaways for this message? One, we got to acknowledge the hand of God. We got to recognize that God's active role in your life. You have to recognize that God is actively playing a part in your life. Mm-hmm. He's actively playing a part in the church. Amen. Actively.
Yes,
another takeaway is you got to stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Seek intimacy with God. He wants communion. He's knocking at the door. Seek intimacy with God with prayer, in worship, and in His Word. Get into the Word. The Word. The Word is life for us, church. The Word. This is where God is at, too. The Word became flesh. And the third takeaway is step out in faith. Without faith, church, it's impossible to please God. So we got to step out in faith and trust that His hand will uphold you as you obey His call.
Amen.
As you walk out His purpose, as you walk out on the assignment that He's given you. He's given us all an assignment. He's called us for such a time as this.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So walk it out. Obey His call. Amen. Call upon Him. He will answer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So know that the hand of God, and I'm just going to recap. Amen. Because this is so good. Amen. The hand of God is over you. Amen. He's protecting you. He's giving you power, authority. He's guiding you. He's giving you favor and the blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't Amen. Get better than that, church. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And He's not asking for much. He just wants an intimate relationship with you. Be aware of who He is in your life. Know your identity in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And know that His hand is upon you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 Allow Him to work through you every single day. Amen. Glory to God. You are blessed.
Amen. Recording stopped.